True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.
nothing like listening and talking about paranormal activities. I'll tell you what, me and Peggy, oh yeah, we listen to Ghostly Talk every night, I'll tell you what.
Hello folks, my name is Henry Rollins and you are listening to Ghostly Talk. Touch your friends, touch yourself, but don't touch that dial.
Yes, this is Ghostly Talk. Had a really cool talk with John last half hour there about time and space and how it affects hauntings. It's a hard thing. I think Doug will agree with me on this, that it's not the easiest concept to tackle. By the way, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we have on the line, the list goes on and on forever. I'm just going to try to give people an idea of who this gentleman is in a couple of brief words. Is everybody ready here? Everybody ready?
Good luck.
I know. It's tough. Let me try.
We are notorious for intros.
Let's try this.
So good luck.
All right, here I go. 1, 2, 3. Born in 1949, Mark Macy grew up in Windsor, Colorado, earning his journalism and electronics degrees after high school. He became convinced of spiritual reality in 1991 and immersed himself in the young field of ITC, which stands for Instrumental Transcommunication, which is the use of electronic equipment to get information from the spirit worlds in the form of voices, images, and text. Mr. Mark Macy actually was the founder of INIT. That stands for the International Network of Instrumental Transcommunication, where he arranged funding for annual meetings of its members, scientists, and ITC researchers from various countries. They attracted ethereal beings into the project, providing miraculous advances in ITC research. Macy gathered the research results of the various members and published the group's journal several times a year. He also spread the word about ITC research through presentations, radio and TV interviews, books, audio cassettes, and videotapes. His latest book, Miracles of in the Storm, tells the story of those fascinating years that bridged heaven and earth. And on that note, I want to welcome Mark Macy to the show. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Scott. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
We've had you on before, and I have to say, I don't know if we told you this personally, and I know we talked about it a little while ago. You really, by coming on our show, really changed the direction of our approach to more or less ghost hunting in general. You were one of the people that actually changed. You gave us a new idea, a new direction to take our studies in and our research and our passion for the paranormal. And I have to say that a lot of people, as a result of the show that you had, you know, that you were on before, were exposed to this too. And I can't tell you how many people have contacted me telling me that they're building their own germanium diode setups and their own like type of Spiricon machines and things like that. So I have to say you've really made a really big impact on us here, and I need to thank you for that.
Well, thanks. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Basically, I mean, we have a lot. We're going to go through a lot of stuff tonight, I think. I mean, we have a lot of audio to play. But really, I mean, to give the listening audience an idea again, I gave a brief definition of what ITC is, but I know there's a lot more to it. You care to, like, lend us in on some of the ideas of that?
Sure. It started in the 50s when people began to use tape recorders for the first time, and they began to capture voices on tape that by own rational thought shouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
They'd play back the tape and they'd hear tiny voices. They call the field EVP, or electronic voice phenomenon. Then in the 1980s, a quantum leap happened, I guess. George Meek and some researchers in Europe began to get more amazing contacts with the Spiricom device, which you mentioned earlier, and people in Europe began to get images across their television sets and long dialogues through radios and telephones, and that's when the new term called ITC, or Instrumental Transcommunication, was coined by George Meek. Basically, it's the use of TVs, radios, telephones, and other devices to get information from the world of spirit in the form of voices, images, and text.
Okay, yeah. You know, that's kind of how I discovered World ITC, Mark. I was listening to Coast AM, which is our favorite show here, and they were playing the Spiricom tapes. And for our listeners out there, just so you know, Mark Macy, this was a while ago, too, Mark. This is like a year ago, I think, we talked about this. You agreed, very nice of you to agree, by the way, to let, because you sent me a copy of the Spiricom, the Spiricom dialogues with George Meeks and Dr. Mueller, who was the spirit that he contacted through this machine. You sent me the actual audio cassette of this. And I transferred it digitally to MP3 files, and you allowed us to actually let people download these off our website. If you go to our site on the archives page, just like look for Spiricom on there, and you'll see the complete tapes of the Spiricom things on there. Mark Macy gave us his blessing to let us put these up on our site for people to download and listen to, and they are fascinating, I have to say. Completely blown away, and that's the first time I heard about this, and that's kind of how I was exposed myself to World ITC, and ultimately having you on the show the first time. It was really, and the tapes themselves, you have to download these things. They're absolutely amazing. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But, I mean, what is there more to this ITC thing? I mean, it's obviously, the big question people have, Mark, is what is the difference, really, between EVP and ITC?
I guess the differences could be described in a lot of detail in different ways, but it seems like the main difference is that ethereal beings, these advanced beings who've never been in physical bodies, their lifespan is thousands and thousands of years, I guess, and they've tracked our planet for many thousands of years, monitored the development of humanity. Well, they decided to kind of step in, I guess, at a certain point in the mid-80s and give us a taste of what's possible through this ITC research. As we on Earth learn more about subtle energies, we'll be able to develop equipment to establish contacts with the other side in the most elaborate ways.
Mm-hmm.
We're given a taste of. And the taste was made possible by these ethereal beings who kind of opened up the veil and allowed these amazing communications to take place. Text would stream through computers in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And this one couple who would leave for work in the morning, making sure that everything was turned off at home. Sometimes they'd get home in the evening and there'd be new files planted on the disk. The files might contain text or they might contain images, actual pictures of the other side, pictures of people and places in the spirit world planted in their computer by invisible hands, I guess, when nobody was home. And that kind of gives you a taste of ITC. And it's something that I think is going to be commonplace maybe 50 years from now, when humanity has developed a certain psychic or psycho-spiritual readiness for this technology.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, it was just kind of we received a taste of it over a period of 5 or 6 years, this group you called INIT that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that you were actually the founder of that, like I said. And you, how many years did you guys work on this stuff together as far as the INIT group went?
We started in 1995 and ended in 2000, so I guess it was 6 years.
5 or 6 years, something like that?
Yeah.
As I know, your book, actually, Miracles in the Storm, Miracles of the Storm, it's actually on your website for download, too, am I correct?
A few excerpts are.
Yeah,
the whole book. Mm-hmm.
I've read it inside and out myself, so... I know. I mean, if you go to your website is worlditc.org, the site is absolutely chock full of information. It's amazing to go to this site. I mean, I know, Doug, we've discussed this before about worlditc.org. It's really hard to find where to start at because there's so much information on there. You've been there a million times too, Doug, right?
Yeah, well, we've talked about a lot of things about World ITC and ITC, and we've talked for hours on end about this particular topic. And so that's why it's really, really excellent to have you on, Mark. I'm very pleased. One thing that I do know is that INIT, INIT,
mm-hmm.
is also process number one on most Unix computers. this is a little funny aside kind of thing. But also, the thing that I'm wondering is, what's for example, this couple in Europe who would get these files on their discs, and then of course I've been through a lot of your website, and all these folks who this ITC stuff happened, are they special?
Let's see, are they special? I think they were at the right place at the right time, and they are special in some ways, yes. Maggie is she's a school teacher, very compassionate with children, loves kids, mm-hmm. very innocent herself, you know, almost childlike in many ways. And her husband, Jules, is very powerfully psychic. So those two qualities, the sensitivity and the psychic sensitivity and the childlike innocence and openness, you know, the lack of negative thought forms and that kind of thing, those qualities really make it make a person accessible to the ethereal beings who make these contacts possible. And also, we were told that Maggie and Jules, both the couple, had been part of some priests in ancient times. In a temple called Sophis Temple, when these ethereal beings, I guess, first came close to try to make contact with the planet. It begins to sound like science fiction. Anyway, this couple in Europe, they're apparently reincarnated from ancient souls who had been on Earth a long time ago and been involved in this project long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of the story is kind of hard to swallow for a lot of people, but the main thing is, I guess, they have these qualities of innocence and compassion and psychic sensitivity.
What's interesting is, you had mentioned the last time we spoke that it often took, in the modern experiments that your group is doing, it takes a mixture of people. And they have to be of the right frame of mind, and they have to be, you know, pretty much balanced and in tune with themselves and the earth, and, you know, they have to be all correct. I mean, everything has to be all lined up like a line of dominoes. Everything has to be perfect for it all to work. And I'm wondering if the mixture of people this couple represents, does that lend a power? Are we talking a power, or are we talking a method? Why does that combination of people, the two in Europe, I'm just using them as an example,
sure.
But you could talk more general if you like. Is it the combination of people, because that's something I see in both sides of the coin, these two in Europe, and then your group, what you were doing, and how everything has to be right. Is it the combination of people, or is it something else that's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't wasted any time today getting to the heart of ITC. That's really, the crux of it. When I was in Europe, we had a phone call when I was visiting this couple, and the first thing the spirit friend, Constantine Radaev, said it can only work when the vibrations of those present are in complete harmony and when their aims and intentions are pure.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've found since then is that the key that you're talking about is resonance or harmony among a group of people. It's hard for us on Earth to see or to conceive of the harmony among people the way they do on the other side. They can see us and they can perceive our vibration, and there are certain vibrations based on our attitudes and our thoughts and our beliefs that allow us, well, if all people are in harmony in our thoughts and attitudes and beliefs, they can sense a very, very clearly a resonance or a harmony among us, and that makes it possible for them to contact us. So I think the quality you're talking about is like tuning a radio. It's not so much the power that's sent from the station to the radio. It's mostly the tuning of the knob. You've got to get the tuning just right, and then you can receive the information. I think that's what ITC is all about, basically.
Well, Mark, you know what? We actually have that dialogue you were just referring to from Constantine Radev. Would you like us to play that?
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's the first one on the list there, Will. Why don't we cue this up? This is... I'll tell you right now, people, I didn't expect to get into this soon, but that's all right, though. It fits in perfectly with what we're talking about. These recordings, these are from beings. I mean, as far as ITC is concerned and as far as Mark's concerned, this is from someone who is deceased. This is very serious stuff right here, and this is the reason I know, like I said before, why we took ITC to heart so much on this show and how it changed the direction of a lot of the things we were doing in our personal studies of, you know, the paranormal and things like that. It's these files that I heard that really just grabbed my heartstrings, like Doug has been referring to all this show. Why don't we just go ahead and play this thing? Everybody just give us a listen real quick. Hang on.
Morning, this is George Meek.
This is Constantine Roudinger. George, my friend, at last we succeeded in contacting you. Jeanette is beside me, and she wants to give you all her love. This is Constantine Roudinger. This is the first contact you get from us. That you can hear me.
I can hear you very well, very plainly.
Fine, so this is the beginning of a new story, a new chapter, George. You are a very good friend of ours, even if we haven't met. We will continue this.
That right there was Constantine Rodoff, right, Mark?
That's correct. Yes, that was not the.
That wasn't the one.
That was a good one. That's one of the better ones. It's a phone call to George Meek.
Yeah.
Founder of Spiritcom device.
Yeah, he was the man that actually was working on this project for a number of years, which was the Spiritcom we referred to before. That was the other file. Sorry about that. But
skipped ahead or back.
I thought I had it. I thought I went through this the other night, and I thought I had everything lined up perfect, but apparently I didn't. Even though, regardless, you can hear this voice. That was actually on the phone. Am I correct?
That's correct.
That was on the phone. You hear this voice that I can't even describe the voice. It's very, and I always try to explain to people how these vibrations work, and I always use my voice as an example. If I slow my voice down like this, kind of, you can hear the vibrations a lot more, and that's really what our vocal cords are comprised of, is just a series of vibrations. You can hear Constantine talking to Mr. Meeks, and he's phrasing these words out, but they're very slow, they're very articulated, too. It sounds like almost as if Mark, and tell me if you agree with this, it's almost as if he's struggling to get through, but he's getting through.
I guess power or energy was provided by ethereal beings to make the contact happen and allow the carrier signal to happen. But the actual voice coming through, we're told it's very difficult for them to modulate their voices through their equipment. They have actual equipment on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Modulate their voices through their equipment in a way that sounds natural to us.
Mm-hmm.
So in that one, you're right, it did come through sounding kind of slow. I think they hadn't quite perfected the technique at that time, and it was a little slow. I've got another one. We received another contact in Germany. A friend of mine named Fritz Malkoff received a contact from Wilhelm Kaiserling,
mm-hmm.
a philosopher who had died a number of years earlier. His voice sounds very strange. I mean, they didn't get that right at all as far as making it sound natural to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to do, is make the voice sound natural and normal to us so it doesn't sound spooky or anything.
Well, I got to be honest. I have to be honest, Mark.
Yeah.
I think for the layman who hasn't studied this for a while like we have, I can say from personal experience, the first time I listened to these files, these pieces of audio, it scared the living bejesus out of me. I won't lie. I was like, oh, my God, what is that? Because it does sound kind of scary. You know, it's
right. My my own, if a voice like that came on the phone to me, my vibrations must not be in harmony at all, because if I would hang up, I think. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is scary. Yet at the same time, this is a monumental, and I want to repeat that again, a monumental breakthrough to be able to talk with the other side for such great lengths, because I'm sure you've seen that horrible
here it comes.
White noise.
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for it. I wasn't going to say a word about it, Doug, but you said it for me. Thank you.
That horrible movie called White Noise. That's not even the tip of the iceberg when we've got people researching things like this.
Well, the thing in regards to white noise, and I don't want to turn this into a slam white noise show, but...
Mark, I will.
Mark, you know, see, I'd really like you to concur with me on this. I went and saw the film, and Doug and Will hadn't seen it yet themselves, but the very beginning, the movie opens up, and it comes with a definition. It's a, you know, the text on the screen, a definition of EVP, and they give you the definition. And as the movie progressed... I watched them, and from the stuff that I've studied, especially with ITC and stuff like that, people are like, well, man, that's about EVP, Scott. That's what you do. And I'm like, you know what? I don't really think that movie, I don't think they nailed it. I thought it was more based on the study of instrumental trance communication, because they were assembling devices to try to contact the other side. And that's what ITC does, it seems. They use machines to try to contact the other side. I don't know if you saw the film or not, but did you get that impression also?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hollywood always has to kind of make it what they call sexy, you know, kind of fun to has to have a plot to it. And it turned out to be kind of a spook show, which was really disappointing to me.
Yeah, I mean, completely.
As I can tell, it was with you, too. And Regina, I kind of enjoyed the program, the movie, as far as being just an entertaining spook flick. But as far as the first real program of a movie about ITC and EVP, it was really disappointing because of the...
Well, you and Doug should sit down and have a slam session on that movie, because I know Doug don't like it.
I failed to see even a plot. You got to meet the bad guy once. As they were coming off an elevator. How could I hate the bad guy, you know? How could I be know that he was going to show up?
There was no character development.
That's true.
There really wasn't.
The best guy in the entire thing was the guy doing the experiments, the guy with all the equipment in his living room. I know people like that.
Yeah.
Now.
That was pretty true to life, the characterization of that fellow is. One of the experimenters, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That fellow was the best thing in the entire movie, and I have to say that, and that's not much.
No, that's true.
I do know people just like that.
And I think whenever there's something new, people are always kind of afraid of it until they get accustomed to it, and that's true with astronomy. When they found out the Earth was not at the center of the universe, you know, the Sun was, and the Earth was just a tiny thing in this great big cosmos. It scared the heck out of people. And right now, the same thing is happening, I think, with our getting in contact with the other side. People are not... We're kind of closed off from the other side because of our conscious minds. And so when we get glimpses of it, and it's true in the way it really is, it seems kind of spooky to us. But that's going to change in the future, I'm sure, as we become more and more acclimated to this interdimensional activity that's starting to go on a lot more now.
Do you know what's interesting? This happened to me not even 15 minutes before I called into the studio, because right now I'm remote. I'm on the telephone just like you are, Mark. And something happened to me. I'm sitting here. I have a cell phone. I'm on my cell phone right now. And it rang. And I looked at the screen, and it says, you know, incoming call or something like that on the top line. And then where it usually puts the caller ID, it said line one, which means that the system could not figure out, it did not know what phone number this call was coming from. Because normally it would show the phone number, or if I had it in the address book, it would show the name of the person. And I answered it, and I said, you know, Applied Engineering, this is Doug, because that's how I always answer my cell phone. And it was nothing for about 4 seconds, and then the call got disconnected. And I'm wondering if that kind of thing is, it's not normal, for example, to not have caller ID. That's not normal on my phone. It was normal for a while, but, you know, because they had some system screw-ups, but it has not been that way for about 4 or 5 months. Every single call I get has caller ID on it for the past 4 or 5 months, and then I'm about to talk to you on the phone, and I get one of these calls.
Mark, did you do that?
Oh.
Did you get Constantine to call us now? Jeez.
I got a chill in my backbone, I guess, while you were talking about that, which indicates sometimes that there's something going on. But I've gotten a couple of calls from different people in the past, just a few weeks, and they've received phone calls from the other side. The phone calls that they've played back to me, the recordings, it sounds pretty evidential. It sounds to me like it probably is from the other side, and I think this might be starting to happen more and more. So if it did happen to you, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, we here at Ghostly Talk firmly believe that there is an upswing in spiritual enlightenment, and I think this stuff that we're talking about coincides directly with that, Mark. I don't know if you've seen that or not yourself, but we've been kind of seeing it, especially with the things in the media, obviously the show Ghost Hunters. There's a lot more people out there watching the show going, wow, you know, that's something really cool. I want to try that myself. So there's a lot more people forming their little organizations, and they're going out there and doing this sort of thing. And I think that's really enlightening a lot of people. And obviously, the whole idea of ITC and EVP, it follows right along with that. Why don't we take a quick break? Because we have a lot more to cover here. I don't even know where we're going to go. I mean, we just kind of decided to fly by the tail of the seat of our pants here on this show again, per usual. And, we have so much more to cover. I'm totally blown away already. Mark, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. This is Ghostly Talk. This has happened the last time, Doug. Don't you remember when we had Mark on? I was like, we were all just kind of sitting here like, what do we do now? How do we do this show? I forgot how to do things.
Is there a button? Is there a knob I should turn? Yes, I remember.
Yeah, what do we do with this stuff? But we'll be right back here after these messages.
Projects at ghostlytalk.com. For anything remote viewing, visit trinityscience.com. Please submit. See ya.
Hello, everybody. My name is Badge. I'm a druid from Ireland, and I'm very busy with the Save Tara campaign. We're trying to divert the road that's going to be built, the toll road, away from Tara Hill. So if any of you can help out with this, please go to our website at www.tarascreen.org and please help us to save the heart of Ireland from having a scar gouged right across it. I believe there are 40 million Americans that claim Irish descent. This concerns each and every one of you. Please help to save Tara, and thank you for listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Sid Haig from www.sidhaig.com, and you are listening to Ghostly Talk. That's the only reason I don't have my boot up your ass.
Thank you.
Ghostly Talk, back again. We're talking with Mr. Mark Macy from worlditc.org. And I'm telling you, man, my God, like I said before we went to break, these are some of the people we love to talk to because they leave us speechless. While that may not be good for radio at that.
That air never sounded so good.
Exactly. It's amazing for us as researchers to talk to people like this. By the way, we have an independent band program we do on Ghostly Talk. You know, and we're going out there to all these new stations and stuff tonight, and we want to put the word out there. If there's any bands out there, independent bands, unsigned bands that are out there hammering it out, doing their thing, trying just to, you know, live their lives for music, and trust me, I'm someone who did that for about 15 years. We have an independent band program here on Ghostly Talk. If you'd like to have your music played on Ghostly Talk, all you need to do is email us. Email ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com and let us know where we may be able to download some music from you. Send us a bio or something like that. It's a very open thing. There's no money exchange. We're not trying to get anybody rich, and we're not trying to get rich off your music either. We just like good independent music, real music, and we like to play it on our show so people can hear you. So if you're interested in that, feel free to email us, or you can hit our P.O. box also if you want to mail us a CD. Wow, if you really want to do that, you can mail a CD to our P.O. box at P.O. box 321. And that's Warren, Michigan, 48090. Again, P.O. Box 321, Warren, Michigan, 48090. I can't remember our own P.O. Box anymore. We had actually...
Well, I wanted to say thank you to all
who've
already responded, because that's what this is about. This is about, you know, grassroots, getting the word out. We're talking about the paranormal topics here, but sometimes it's bigger than that. And independent media, independent radio, independent music, independent movies, which, of course, radio is not a very good forum for. But,
yeah.
But you know, anything independent, anything underground, anything like that, that's one of my personal, I guess, agendas, if I have an agenda of any kind, is the independent people, the people who are out there doing all this wonderful work, like the bands. That was who, Spiral Trance?
Spiral Trance, and actually the first two bands we had played tonight, the first band was a band called Anthema, who actually sent me a MySpace message and said, hey, check, one of the members of the band actually listens to the show, I guess. He's like, I love your radio show. I play in a band. Check out our stuff. And I downloaded a couple of the tunes, and I'm like, wow, these guys are really great. I'm going to play them for sure. The second break we took, I believe that was a band called Last Days. And they're a band here from Detroit. They're a band that's been banging it out for a real long time. And then Spiral Trance, like Doug mentioned. So lots of good music we love to play on here, along with all the talk we do and stuff like that. If you're in an independent band, drop us a line. Let us know, and we'd be glad to put the stuff on our show.
Yes, you'll notice we have no commercials, so take that as a commercial. Support independent media, support independent bands, support independent film.
Absolutely, that's what we're all about here. That's the bottom line.
Mark. And also the JasonRaderFoundation.org.
Oh, yeah. That's something you're really big into, Doug. I didn't even know that.
I watch, if you go to that website later, Scott Al,
and
you watch the movie, they have like five or six movies. I didn't watch the ones by, like, news media. I watched the one that they put together, and I was so moved. I'm absolutely shocked.
I'll check that out for sure.
Not shocked. I'm shocked that I have these feelings left in me after 38 callous years. That really moved me, and I have to say I'm wholly in support of Jason Rader Foundation and all the folks in Queens Creek, Arizona.
For sure.
Amazing.
Definitely. Mark, you still with us?
Yes.
Oh, you haven't left yet?
No. Were you supposed to?
Oh, no. You can't leave. You can't leave.
No.
You have to stay. We were talking about all kinds of wild stuff in the last half an hour. And one of the things that really I've taken with our conversations, the one before and the one I know we're going to finish up tonight, is this idea. And this is something we took with us big time, was in order to communicate or make contact of some sorts, you have to be in the right frame of mind. And that's, like you said a little while ago, that's really the heart of ITC, is just that. It's this attitude, it's this vibration that you present that these beings can pick up on. It's a phenomenal idea. And I'll tell you something, Mark, after we had you on the show the first time, Doug and myself went to the flea market. Doug, you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
This was like, this is like a while ago. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. And we went to the flea market. We had a fund of like, what, 50 bucks or something like that we all put together. And we went to the flea market and wheeled and dealed all morning long, right? And we left there with a box full of beat-up old radios, right?
Uh-huh.
And basically, based on the stuff we've read from worlditc.org, we decided we were going to buy some old beat-up junk radios and configure them in certain ways to try to make contact, right? Now, we did this a few times, Doug. I know we did this a few times. I can't say
including at the infamous Sally House.
Yes, at the Sally House
in Kansas, yeah. where they that's where the sightings people they went back a couple times because of the phenomena that they captured on film for the sightings TV show, and they thought it was so spectacular that they ended up there's an actual movie out called Sightings Heartland Ghost. So if you and I rented it at the video store, you just go to the video store and if you're lucky they'll have it. Sightings Heartland Ghost, and we did that experiment. We did one of our attempts at ITC was at the infamous Sally House.
Yeah, we bought a ton of radios, Mark. We bought just the stacks of these beat, and they're actually we have them put away here. We have them still. We still use them from time to time. I can't say it ties into this idea of having the right mindset. After we had you on the show, we really started doing meditation sessions and things of that sort to try to get our minds in the right frame, like you said, right? I can't say we have been 100% successful. What do you think, Doug?
Well, we haven't even been 1% successful.
Okay.
However, do you know what it does for us when we do try experiments like that?
What's that?
I think it really focuses us, and it brings our intentions in line, and it brings us more together as a group of ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts. So even though we don't have any voices on tape, and we have no syllables or even words or syllables or sentences on tape yet, I think that by doing those experiments, it still helps us focus and become better researchers.
Oh, absolutely. My question for you, though, Mark, is as a researcher yourself and a successful ITC-er, you're a nice title there, what have you done in your life to try to get yourself focused and centered to try to make contact with people like Konstantin Rodoff, for example?
I think a lot of the things I did, did unconsciously, I guess, before I got involved in ITC. Before I developed cancer in 1988, I was pretty much of an agnostic, but I was deeply involved in world affairs, I guess. I was always looking for ways to achieve peace among people, which is not an easy thing to do, I guess.
Not especially nowadays, geez.
Yeah, given our hormones and our political ideologies and religious beliefs, it's hard to find common ground on which we can really achieve harmony, but that's what I was really involved in before my cancer and before my spiritual involvement, I guess. So I maybe because of that, my heart was in the right place. Even though I was an agnostic, I guess I did believe in decency and trying to get people together and that kind of thing. And I think that helped pull me into the project, plus my writing abilities. I think I was more or less recruited into this shortly after I had this life or death struggle with cancer. It was a project already underway since the early 80s and maybe even late 70s involving certain people in Europe and mostly in Europe. And I think I was just kind of recruited into it because of my writing abilities and my they could probably sense that I could harmonize with these people and these researchers in Europe, at least for the first 5 years. We seemed to get along real well.
You were recruited by these people in Europe. You weren't recruited by anybody from the other side, am I correct?
No, I was kind of thinking the other side, but I'm not sure. I think so much is choreographed on the other side that we don't know. The synchronicities we encounter from day to day, the little coincidences running into people who we happen to be thinking about. And run into people who can make a profound change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Happen to run. I think a lot of that is choreographed on either side, and I think that happened to me. I think I was kind of lucky to be just I was brought into my life at the right time, I guess. I needed some kind of spiritual path to follow that provided some kind of hard evidence or proof, because it was hard to take it just on faith for me. But that's what ITC provided me, and then at the same time I could provide some writing ability for the project that we're doing. So I guess it was, I feel like it was kind of choreographed a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they can communicate with you, but you can communicate with other people much better, too. I mean, it's obviously something that's difficult for them to do still right now, I believe. You can do it a lot easier on this, because you're still part of this plane of existence, it sounds. So you are more or less, I mean, I don't mean this in a bad term either. I mean, you're being used to communicate to other people this idea of ITC. That's what I'm gathering from you.
Right. I think so, yeah. They're using whatever skills they can find on Earth of people who are willing to participate, I think.
Yeah, completely. You know, and...
I have a question.
Go ahead, Doug. Yeah.
Mark, did you ever meet George Meek, or is that...
Yeah, we were good friends. He's the one who got me involved in this research. I went to a conference in Fort Collins, not far from here, Fort Collins, Colorado, and he was the keynote presenter, and I was searching at that time, and it just kind of floored me, the things he was saying, the claims he was making, so I kind of made a nuisance of myself for a few weeks, calling him and sending him letters, and finally invited me over, so I went to Franklin, North Carolina, spent a weekend with him and his housekeeper, and we got to be really good friends, and we developed Continuing Life Foundation together, and I took over a lot of his research after that.
Well, you are more or less the curator of the Spiricon tapes, am I correct?
George had two people who he kind of gave equal access to all of his research, myself and a fellow named Tom Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
I've not kept touch with Tom Pratt. I don't know where he is, but he and I kind of have the rights to all of George Meek's stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, like, obviously, like I said before, we have these tapes up on the site. You can download for free. You can just download these. Mark was nice enough to send me a copy of it, and like I said before, I converted it over, and we put it up on the site for people to download. And if you haven't heard this, it's absolutely fascinating. I can't say this enough. Doug, you've listened to it 1,000 times, too. I mean, you tell
me.
I mean, it's like...
it's mind-boggling stuff. I would say required listening and watching for any Ghostly Talk viewer or listener, whatever we are, at least for us as Ghostly Talk hosts, required listening is the Meek tapes, the ITC tapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bill Nell videos. Those
yeah.
are the required. Out of all these years of doing this, those are the things that are so mind-boggling and absolutely leave you with your jaw on the floor.
Mm.
And the ITC tapes are definitely them, you know, right up there. What about this fellow who also has the rights to it, and then there's all the research since then. I'm wondering. Okay, I'm going to try and rephrase this.
I think Doug's melting down.
Mark. I'm melting down. Yes, you've got me going. Mark, you know what the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, has done with the Edgar Cayce stuff? Yes. They took all of those things that Gladys wrote, you know, his secretary wrote out when he was in trance. When he was in trance, she carefully transcribed all the information that he was getting and wrote it all out. They inputted it into a computer and they make that available as an archive to the ARE members, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people have used this for writing books, and they've used it for learning of themselves. They doctors and lawyers and stock market analysts and all kinds of people go to this body of data and try to continue to learn from it. I'm wondering if ever And of course, that you have to be a member of the ARE. You have to be a paid member. So you are, you know, there is something in exchange for giving you access to this wealth of information, in that, you know, you have to be a member of the group, which is completely okay with me, I believe. The ARE is phenomenal. But what about a similar thing for ITC research? Do you have, like, a central database, or would there be one ever coming up in the future for transcripts of all the information that you're getting?
That's a good question. What I plan to do this year is to set up another website. It's going to have the same title of a book of mine that's coming out. It's the most important book I've ever written. It's going to be coming out in the fall of this year. We don't even know the name of the title of the book yet, but mm-hmm. that'll be the same title of the website. And I'm going to put all the most of the information that's come through from the other side, the more miraculous kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
They were compiled into a series of journals called Contact, and I'm going to post all those on the website, so they're free to everybody to observe them. That'll be done later this year. And other than that, the information is pretty much scattered here and there. Some of it's on the internet, some of it is only exists in paper, hard copy. So
mm-hmm.
There is no central database at this time. The problem is that the harmony I was talking about, it does not exist among ITC researchers at the present time. And so no one's getting very good contacts, and also it's hard to find people to collaborate on developing a good, solid, complete history. The closest we have is our website, worlditc.org,
mm-hmm.
Thanks to largely to Rolf Erhardt, the fellow I work with in Germany. He's in contact with a lot of the people individually, and he's put up some amazing, he's had some German books translated into English and put them on our site.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming, well, today it's the most, it's about the best resource you can get for ITC information. And there's still a lot more out there, but we, eventually, I guess we'll get it on the site and on my new site. Between the two of them, we'll probably get most of the information in the coming months and years, I guess.
Well, I've never seen another site like World ITC. .org. There's no site out there.
Me either.
I've dug and dug. Me either. We have. You see, you have to understand, Mark, we have Will Whitmer on staff here, and he is the king of digging to the bottom end of the internet. He can find the most weirdest, out of, you know, weird, strange sites. I've never seen somebody dig as deep as this guy can. And we have never been able to find a site like World ITC that focuses on the subjects you guys focus on and also presents a lot of this information for free downloads, more or less, also. I mean, a lot of the books and stuff that you talked about, you can download this stuff right off your website. So there's a wealth of information just coming from World ITC. If it seems as if more groups, I mean, and you say there, and that's one thing I want to talk about too, because this may be part of the problem right here, as far as communication contact goes, is this lack of harmony. It seems as if more groups got together, like yourself, or focused their projects together, they could put together their own World ITC type websites to put more information up there. But like you said,
well, I'd like to see a central repository, and I know worlditc.org is the leading candidate.
Yeah, it is the central repository. In my opinion, it is the central repository.
If somebody does do experiments and they come up with you know, some success, which we have not yet, although I believe we've grown from our attempts, right? Mm-hmm. I think that should be shared as data, as information, just like Mark shares his information.
Well, that's what the problem, I think, may be coming from, Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong. You say there isn't that much harmony in the ITC arena. I don't want to turn this into, you know, a debate thing type thing, but what is it? Why is there this lack of harmony? I'm just curious.
Well, I think there are several reasons. They can all be traced to, well, most of them can be traced to human nature, basically, the hormones we have and the egos. If you get a group of people together working on a project and you try to set up some central repository of all their data, who's going to be the person who kind of controls that? That's what everybody wants to have some input into. They want to basically be the one who controls it. And they want it done their way, mm-hmm. especially if they're getting some of the better contacts. You know, there might be three or four in the large group who are getting the best contacts, and they want things done their way. And it's just basically human nature. It's very difficult to get people working without ego, you know. And,
well, yeah, in one direction also,
yeah,
it seems.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, and it... And Doug, I know you're talking. You know what I'm talking about here too. This, it's the exact same thing as far as ghost hunting goes. I mean, true ghost hunting. I mean,
yes, it is.
Like I said a few minutes ago, I mean, we need to thank Ghost Hunters, the show on Sci-Fi, for that, because they really. I mean, I've been watching it. I've been watching it as close as possible, and I've been watching groups pop up left and right. And their biggest inspiration is Ghost Hunters, and that's great. The problem is that, and this is from past experience on Doug and myself's part. You do have to be aware, and I learned this over the years, that there is this group dynamic that you have to understand and know how to manage. And a lot of groups don't have that. That's why they fizzle out over time, or they just end up going belly up, or big feuds start up. And then there's this idea on the other side of arguable evidence, too. And I'm sure this is something that you've had to put up with a lot, Mark. We're presenting this stuff tonight. We're going to be playing more audio, and I'm sure there's going to be a handful of people that are going to go, this is completely faked. This is a complete fake. I can't believe these guys are doing this, you know? Well, I mean, my thing is, what is your response on that? I mean,
That's actually one of the debates that tore the group apart was, I was in part of a group that we wanted to, our main objective was to preserve the contact field and keep these contacts coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Another group wanted to backstep and convince science that what we're doing is legitimate
mm-hmm.
before we proceed with the contacts. And that would have, in my opinion, would have carried us back into the dark ages of ITC, because science is just not ready to accept this into their paradigm. They can't accept spirit into the Newtonian paradigm without rebuilding it with a new, totally new foundation based on spiritual reality. So until that happens, there's no way to prove this work to skeptics, because it's beyond their understanding, it's beyond their paradigm, their mental model of reality.
Well, and, because it can't be repeated over and over again in a lab setting.
Replicability is definitely one of the big issues with science. And so anyway... when I talk to skeptics, if they have an open mind, I might start out by saying something like, 100 years ago, if someone would have told you that you could pick up the phone in a few years and talk to someone across the Atlantic, you'd have thought they were crazy.
Yeah.
But now it's mainstream. But now today, I'm saying that it won't be long before you can pick up a phone and talk to Uncle Fred, who died 10 years ago. And that sounds crazy today, but another 50 years it'll probably be mainstream.
Very well may be. I mean, that's a great way to look at it, too. I mean, we're talking with you, and you're hundreds or thousands of miles away from us right now, Mark. Just having this conversation, and it's pretty common now. I mean, this is something we live with. We're used to it. But, yeah, like 100 years ago, would you have even fathomed that idea? Would a person even thought of that? I mean, it would be hard just to, like, you know, contact someone around the block. You'd have to get on your horse and buggy and ride around the block. I mean, that's, you know,
I'd wait for them to come to me.
Yeah, that's Doug. There you go.
I'd be like, oh, I'm here. I'm sipping a mint julep under the shade tree. I'm perfectly content. And if they want to visit with me, they can just come over here.
There you go.
That hits the nail on the head is where we are with ITC right now. We don't have the ability and the technology and the understanding to really make the contact with the other side, so we kind of have to wait for them to come to us. We've got to set up the situation with our attitudes and our thoughts and our intentions. That's a big one, your focused intention on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, then gradually the spirit team begins to form around you, and they can make the contacts happen. They can bring the information to us.
Okay, that's scary.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because I mentioned in before we were talking with you, Mark, we were talking with John Statler of Lansing, Michigan, and he was we were discussing the concept of time on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and what was interesting is I had mentioned as one of the things that could be thrown into the mix. I had mentioned Edgar Cayce's idea, and this is also a theory of a lot of other people from different branches of metaphysics, that we create our own reality. And I know that's a very simplistic phrase, and when you take it for what it says, it's not exactly what it means, but that's how it's commonly phrased. What it means is that our intentions are what we, you know, what we as human beings and as a race of human beings, or as a whole, you know, bunch of human beings, we can affect our own reality. And that, of course, is intertwined with their reality on the other side, if you look at it as a mirror. So what's happening is, you've just said that everybody has to have focused intention mm-hmm. as well. And that's pretty much what we had been discussing about, you know, well, in the half hour before you came on the show.
It's an amazing idea. Why don't we take a quick break, though, okay? Because I want to talk more about this focused, these ideas of focused intentions. If you also are cool with this, Mark, we discussed this with John, too, is this idea of linear and quantum time that affects what we're doing, too. I really want to get into that. That's okay. Why don't we do that after the break, though? This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.